Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and as always, if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 8, 8.30 tonight. And tonight, Habib, I'm excited, man. Blair the Flair Cobbs will be joining us for a few minutes. You don't want to miss this guy. Also, tonight, we're going to talk about Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua. Is it signed? What's going on with it? We'll tell you everything you need to know. But first, we're going to get started with, finally, some boxing, Beeb. ESPN, Shakur Stevenson versus Felix Caraballo. Shakur Stevenson dominated Felix Caraballo via six-round TKO. This fight was all Stevenson, man. From start to finish, Shakur just does what he does, man. Shakur got a lot of criticism for this fight, but I'll be honest, I don't really understand it. I don't know what more he could have done. I mean, really, what more could he have done? I thought he looked great. They could say, well, we'll step up a competition. Guys, he's got 12 fights. 12. You know, and they have been slowly stepping him up. I mean, Caraballo is not a pushover. He's a good fighter, you know. But again, Shakur Stevenson has 12 pro fights. That's something, you know, if you think about when you talk about, hey, well, let's step him up, let's do this, let's do that. And 12. It's not a lot. You know, everybody wants to take the Lomachenko route and, you know, be a world titleist by the third fight. Listen, it don't, 99.99% of the time never works out like that. So I thought he did great, man. What about you, B? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, you don't really know how good someone is until they're pressed and pushed in a fight, until they overcome adversity. But one thing you could say is, and this is just my own opinion of the kid, in the beginning, some of the criticisms from me were, he doesn't sit down on his punches. That's number one. That was one criticism. Another criticism I had was, thought he did a lot of wasted movement, whereas instead of just making subtle movements where he could just take a half step back, half step to the side, and evade with subtle movement instead of taking himself completely out of range and then having to travel that much more distance to get back in range. Those are two criticisms. And I thought he threw too many punches where they were just kind of like pity pat. It was almost like he was playing tag, where he would just go in there, touch and go, not really sit down and stay in the pocket and sit down on a combination and then just kind of, you know, pivot out. Or take that, like I said, that half step to the side and just slide just enough out of range where he could just, you know, quickly reset and get back into the offensive attack pattern. All those things over time that I've been watching him have been corrected, I thought. I thought that there have been huge improvements in all of those areas, in my opinion. And another thing is he's really making a concerted effort to go to the body now. And he's, like I said, he's sitting down on these shots. So I think he's becoming more of an efficient fighter. I think it's more quality versus before it was quantity, making that transition from the amateur style to the pro style. So I love the way he varied up the punches. I love the punch selection. I like the fact that he's sitting down and he's really throwing crisper shots. And not before it, to me, it was like he was just looking to touch a guy. And even before the punch was fully extended and landed, half of his body was already in the motion of getting out of there. You know what I'm saying? He was just like, boom. And like, you know, now he's actually gauging range better and just getting his feet underneath him better. And I just see major improvement, and I see a steady progression fight after fight after fight. He's getting quality knockouts now against decent guys. Are they great? No, they're decent. But like you said, 12 fights. Now, when we start coming around to 18, 20, then we need another step up in competition as well. So I have no problem with the way he's being moved. One thing I do have a problem with is ESPN in the way they hype him up. You know, I was watching another podcast, D-Style's podcast, Hispanics Causing Panic. Shout out to D-Style. And Dave Duenas made a great point. I didn't agree with his total assessment of Shakur Stevenson, but he has the right to his own opinion. I'm not here to change anyone's opinion. I'm here to set the table for you. It's up to you if you want to eat or not, you know? But he has the right to his opinion. But one thing he did say was commentators are not supposed to be hype men. They're supposed to be analysts and commentate on the fight.
That's a very good point.
And the way Tim Bradley was talking about Shakur Stevenson, he's definitely by far the best young talent out there today. And he said it with such conviction. You know, and Joe Tessitore jumped right on the bandwagon. Obviously, Andre Ward wasn't there because he's the manager.
Right.
But Dave Duenas made a great point. These guys, just like we used to criticize HBO for really going overboard with the cheerleading of the house fighter, I think this is the problem why I think people are so critical of Shakur Stevenson. This is why they were so critical of a lot of these HBO fighters, because these guys are already anointing them like right away without them really proving themselves. They're saying it with such a conviction, as I said earlier, and they're saying it unequivocally, like these guys have made it already. They're stars, you know? And because they're setting the bar so high and they're already acting as if these guys already have done more than what they've really done, putting them on a level where they haven't proven that they're on yet, that's why people become critical, because they're listening to the network hype this kid up so much. And they're not there to promote the fighter. They're there to be analysts. Bob Arum is the promoter of the fighter. Andre Ward, who is the manager, he's there to help push along the guy's career and make him excel to the best of his ability. That's why he's not in the commentary booth when the kid fights. So that doesn't mean that you guys have to be the cheerleader in place of, you know, Andre Ward, who obviously should be the cheerleader because he's got a vested interest in the young man. So Tim Bradley, I just think, was getting a little too hyped up about the kid. Joe Tessitore followed suit right behind him. And that's the problem. It's the whole thing with the Tyson Fury thing, the lineal. They still call him the lineal champion. Guys, I love Tyson Fury to death, my favorite fighter in boxing today. But the guy retired. And if he didn't retire, he was going to get stripped. It's like you can't go to the supermarket one day and have a place in line and then come back tomorrow and say, hey, this is my place in line, and just cut everyone and go and just stand in that same spot because you can say, this is my place in line. No one's going to hold your spot for you when you go, when you leave. He left for 3 years. He got stripped of the IBF. He was, in the process of getting stripped by, you know, all of his belts stripped. So the guy's not the lineal champ, but yet they keep pushing that lineal champ thing. The lineage was broken when he retired, and he was gradually going to get stripped of all the titles. So it's not their job to do what they're doing, hyping up the house fighters like they do, and that's what throws people off and gets people irritated, and that's why people go hard on fighters like Shakur Stevenson, because they're being force-fed that this guy is supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread with 12 fights in. without having a signature win on his resume. But already he's being anointed. That's the problem. That's why you're hearing what you're hearing right now, in my opinion.
Right. And I mean, and that's the thing. And this always happens. You know, whenever they just try to force feed a fighter down your throat, there's always backlash.
Negative backlash, 100%.
It happened a lot. You know, honestly, back in the day, it was Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, Oscar De La Hoya, all those other guys. Now, they might be as good as advertised, but they were pushing them. They were trying to push them forward. They were trying to, you know, media was behind them, everything. It gets on your nerves, you know, just let these guys fight. But I get it. I get it because you have to promote them. They're house fighters. So what are you going to do, you know? I mean, I get it, but, yeah, a lot of people don't like that. You know,
and as much as I love as much as I love Timothy Bradley
as a fighter, I'm not a big.
I like him as a fighter. I loved him as a fighter. I loved interviewing him. I thought he was a great interview. He's a very nice guy, very likable guy. Horrible commentator.
Yeah.
Horrible commentator. He's trying too hard in there. Just be yourself. Do what Andre Ward does. Just be yourself.
I like Andre Ward a lot. I really do.
Andre Ward's incredible. He's
great, man.
He's phenomenal. He's just getting better and better with experience. Andre Ward. His comfort level. It's natural to him to be a commentator right now. You know.
Yeah.
Better and better with the way he communicates and just the way he's becoming. He's really. Becoming more analytical, and he's really bringing up really good points, you know, mm-hmm. where before when he was on HBO, he kind of laid back a little bit. Now he's stepping up, you know, stepping in and coming a little bit more aggressive and talking more. And I think that just comes with experience and confidence in doing the job. In the beginning, I think he had to get acclimated to it, but now I think he's fully acclimated to it. And I think he does a phenomenal job, like you said.
I think he's great, man. Yeah. He's one of my favorites for sure. All right, on the undercard here, the ESPN undercard, we had Jared Anderson versus Johnny Langston. Jared Anderson, who got a lot of run on this undercard. A lot of people were mentioning his name. He turned a lot of heads here. He won in the third round, stopped Johnny Langston in the third round. By the way, Jared Anderson, where is he from? Toledo, Ohio. That's right, Title Town, baby. Gotta love it, Beeb. Gotta love it. Champions all over this place. All right, ESPN on Thursday. Now, this week, too, there'll be a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday card on ESPN. But last Thursday, Jesse Magdaleno versus Yennefel Vicente. Oh, boy, where do we start with this one? Magdaleno won via 10th round disqualification over Vicente. Magdaleno, I thought, was winning this fight handily either way, but how many low blows do you need to land before the fight stopped? You know, in the fourth round, Vicente got his third warning. No more warnings, man. The fight's done. The fight's done. I don't understand. He took 2 points away from him or something crazy. Fight's done. All right. When are we going to get rid of the Bird family, man? Adelaide Bird, Robert Bird should be nowhere near the sport at this point, man.
He's incompetent.
If I was a fighter, I tell you what, man. If I was a fighter and either one of these two were assigned to my fight, if I was a manager, I'd request a change. No question about it.
How do you get him out of there?
I don't understand it. How does this work, Beeb? I don't get, like, I mean, how many, that guy should have been disqualified right there in the fourth.
Well,
shouldn't have gone that far.
And he was hesitant on disqualifying him in the 10th round, too. It's almost as if the commissioner at ringside had to tell him to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And Vicente has a history of, you know, he's been disqualified before. He's had points taken away for low blows in multiple fights.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself, and obviously I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not going to get in the guy's head, but you have to ask yourself, when he sees things going the wrong way for himself in a fight, does he almost do it on purpose to try to get himself out of the fight, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a legit question.
There's a pattern with the kid, you know? And, you know, Magdaleno was so much faster. And here's the thing with Magdaleno. I think the guys that give him trouble are the guys that can out-muscle him and rough him up on the inside, make him uncomfortable. If you're not fast enough to be able to get inside on him and he's able to pot-shot you from the outside and use distance and step around you all night, just circle you, pop, 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 circle, pop, circle, pop, circle. If he's able to do that, then he's going to beat a lot of guys that way. It's the guys that can make him uncomfortable, put the pressure on him. And he's somewhat susceptible to body shots, I noticed as well, too. I mean, no one likes to get hit to the body, but right. He's a little bit, overly susceptible. You can see how he doesn't react very well to getting hit in the body. Like it's almost like the Sergey Kovalev effect with him. So I think a guy that can really, take him to task on the inside will be a problem for him, But against the right guy, I agree with Marco Hernandez. He can become a world champion again, but it's got to be against the right guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Marco Hernandez had just said in his opinion, Magdalena won't be champion again. And I think you're right. It's got to be the right guy. It's got to be the right matchup. And that's what he's got people, is what he's got managers for and everything like that. It would be tough, I think. I think it would be tough, put it that way.
He's in a tough division right now, too.
Yeah, he is. He really is. I mean, it's a lot of good people in there. They had, these fights took place in what they called the bubble. This was interesting, Beeb. When I saw, them come out and everything like that, and we were watching these fights and everything, when they panned back and there was no audience, there was no audience, no nothing. And it was just two big TV screens in the ring. It was odd. I mean, it was really odd to see. I mean, it was really kind of surreal when you look at it. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? What were your thoughts when you saw that?
It was weird. It was something I'm not used to seeing, obviously. But I have to say is, and it's going to sound bad, but I can't really tell that much of a difference while when I'm watching the fight, when the camera's on the fighters, that the crowd's not there. To me, with the UFC, it's more pronounced. You can tell more with the UFC, but with boxing, because we're so used to seeing cards in the beginning where there's not a lot of people there anyway. So it's almost like you are watching it. With all due respect to the fighters, I don't want to demean the fighters, but these are types of fights that when you see them in regular circumstances, there's not a lot of people there anyway.
You're right. But
am I right? I mean,
you know how like the pay-per-view cards, like some of the pay-per-view cards, or you see them on like the Top Rank card or whatever, when you go early, like that first prelim fight, ain't nobody there. Yeah. They slowly trickle in. There's nobody there,
And I love listening to Buddy McGirt yell from ringside. he's yelling instructions to get the jab in there, baby.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. And then he's like, and then the guy does it. Thank you. I just love Buddy McGirt's training style. I just love the dialogue he has with his fighters. It's just funny. Makes me laugh.
Right.
Because he's one of those guys that's vocal. In the corner, from ringside when the fight's going on, I just get a kick out of it.
Right, man. All right, guys. Well, hey, I tell you what, I got some bad news here. Blair Cobb won't be able to make it today. We just got a text says he's not going to be able to make the interview. So hey, it is what it is, man. Hey, this happens, B. This is what happens.
I don't get my hopes up high sometimes with the fighters.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're preparing for fights, they're busy. I get it. Yeah. Not a big deal. That kind of stuff happens. So, yeah, I just got the message here. So, yeah, no problem, man. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a rough day today because about 2:00, Barrios, I got him a message from a guy, and he said that Barrios wasn't going to be able to make it. He had a training session come up and everything like that. No problem. And then he filled in with Blair Cobb. And sure enough, Blair Cobb wasn't going to be able to make it either. These guys are on tight schedules, man. So in Sunday at 7, it's I think any time, really, it's tough to get these guys. But that is what it is, man. And we'll keep moving forward, and we'll try to ice somebody down next week. You know what I mean? That's all we can do.
Well, I like getting the young kids because they just come on. When once these guys have like 18, 19, 20 fights, it's difficult to, you know, just a different, just different situation.
Well, different situations. Well, that's a good point too. You know, once they have, once they have 15, 20 fights, like you said, it's a different situation because you're a lot busier. You're a lot, it's a lot different, man. Your life changes a little bit, put it that way. So, So we'll get moving here. Let's talk about the upcoming fights, Beeb. Let's talk about the ESPN boxing. It's about the only fights we got now, right?
Yeah.
ESPN?
We got. So anyone that's talking shit about Top Rank or ESPN, what are the other guys doing, you know?
Well, you know what? That's a good point because it seems like there's a lot of backlash on these Top Rank cards.
Yeah.
A lot of people just ripping these cards left and right. You know, it's like we said, though, you know, you have to be a little bit understanding. You know, you got to be a little bit understanding about this. But after a month or two of this, there's going to be, you know, hey, when are we going to put this together? You know,
well,
and the only fights that you're going to see, like big fights, they're going to have to be on pay-per-view because there's no gate. That's the thing.
Well, the second card on Thursday was much better than the Tuesday card, I thought. It's like a Lopez fight.
Yeah.
I thought the card on Thursday was much better than the card on Tuesday. I thought the Lopez fight, and you know, to open it up, the co-feature, they had the co-feature on first. That was a good fight. It was a very, very competitive fight.
Yeah.
Very entertaining fight.
Yeah. They're not bad fights. They're not bad fights. Coming Tuesday, we'll talk about this one here. Tuesday, June 16th from Las Vegas on ESPN, Joshua Greer Jr. versus Mike Plania, 10 rounds bantamweights. Giovanni Santillan versus Antonio DeMarco, 10 rounds welterweights. So not the not the card that, you know, everybody's hoping for and everything like that. June 18th, Thursday, Jose Pedraza versus Mikel LaPierre, 10 rounds junior welterweights, and Gabe Flores Jr. versus Jose Ruiz, 10 rounds lightweights. That ought to be a little bit better card. I'm actually looking forward to the Thursday card. I'm looking forward to seeing Jose Pedraza and how he performs there and see what he looks like, you know, and should be a good fight for him. June 20th from Mexico City on ESPN+, Emmanuel Navarrete versus Uriel Lopez, 10 rounds junior featherweights. Carlos Ornelas versus Edwin Palomares, 10 rounds featherweights. So there you go. And that's it. I mean, that's it for the boxing. And even as we look down here, I think I'm looking at June 27th, they got Miguel Burchelt versus the dreaded TBA. Elwin Soto also on that undercard. So not a whole lot going on, man. Not a whole lot. So this is going to be, you know, kind of the new normal here for a little while anyway. So, yeah, man, it's crazy. So let's see what we got here. News and rumors. Beep, what do you, I mean, do you, let me ask you before we even move on to the news and rumors here, do you see the cards getting better during this time?
Yeah, I think come July, the cards are going to get better, progressively get better, you know, step by step. But we got the Wilder Fury fight supposed to be in December. They're shooting for that fight to happen in December. The Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko fight's going to happen in September. So we got two big fights to close out the year. So I'm looking forward to those two big fights. And I thought also that, like I said, slowly but surely these cards are going to start to get better, in my opinion. I just think they're going to have to, you know.
I think
but
so
it,
too.
It all,
yeah, I think so too. They're going to have to pick up steam here.
It all depends on the fighters, because if these guys are hoping to make the money they were making before and they're not going to move on that number, Bob's got to do what he's got to do. So do the other promoters.
Well, you know, you look at the situation that's in MLB right now in baseball, you know, and you got those guys, they want to make the same kind of money as they were and whatever the case may be. And the owner's saying, no, we can't do it. And both sides are, you know, I mean, they're quibbling over billions and millions of dollars here that they make. So either side could really give in and be okay. You know, that being said, I think it's much the same way in boxing where, you know, if you're getting paid X amount of dollars, look, man, I mean, you know, I still got to take the risk and go in there with this guy. You know, we still got to take the risk and go in there and fight this guy, no matter if there's a crowd or not a crowd. I shouldn't get paid any less, right?
That's the mentality.
And that's the mentality. And it's, I mean, hey, I got to be honest, it's not a bad mentality. That being said, you got promoters who, you know, who can't pay you because there's no crowd there. You know, they can't properly promote it because, you know, who's going to come? You know, tough. It really is. It's a tough situation, you know. But in order to keep the sport afloat, they're going to have to put on, you know, better fights than what they are. But like I said, now you kind of, I'll give them a pass here for these cards, you know. Give them a pass. They're competitive. They're good, you know, but they're not what we're accustomed to, put it that way. So I don't know, man. How are the I heard the viewership tanked on this. Does anybody
Dana White was just destroying Bob Arum. It was hilarious.
Uncle Dana, man.
It was hilarious.
What happened? What did he say?
He was just making fun of the numbers.
They were that bad?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is ESPN. I mean, it wasn't ESPN Plus. This is on big-time ESPN. That's not good, man. That ain't good. Yeah, I heard the numbers at tank, so, jeez. Must not have been good. Must not have been good. All right, Beeb, let's talk about this, man. So, Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua have agreed. All right, so Eddie Hearn came out this week and said there's an agreement in place for Fury and Joshua to fight. There are a few hurdles. They both have to win their next fight, and then the fight probably won't take place until next year. It's supposed to be a two-fight deal. However, no contracts or anything like that have been signed. Beeb, is this fight going to happen? There's still a big hurdle. There's still a couple of big hurdles in place, you know. Joshua has got to win his fight. Tyson Fury has got to beat Deontay Wilder for a third time now, and that's no picnic. You know, I mean, that's not an easy task. So what gives you? I mean, Tyson Fury's your guy. You're responsible for him. You're England's adopted son. What gives here, man?
It's just Eddie Hearn trying to get publicity. Does this fight have to be announced now? It's over. It's going to be over a year away, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it's a distraction to the fighters, because we already saw what happened to Anthony Joshua before when he was thinking about Wilder when he had Ruiz in front of him. And then he even admitted to the fact that he was distracted because he was thinking about Wilder. I mean, what did they really agree to? You don't have a date, you don't have a venue, and these guys have mandatories laid out in front of them, you know, and Fury's got the rematch with Wilder. We don't know what the WBC is saying that Tyson Fury has to fight Dillian White by February. They're going to mandate it. So Eddie Hearn putting this information out there now, it just looks like he's just trying to get attention. The guy's just an attention whore. He always has been.
Oh.
And it's just ridiculous to be talking about this fight. I hate when people talk about fights down the road when they already have fights in front of them. It's just stupid. I'm just not a big fan of it.
That's the thing. I mean, you've agreed to what? You've agreed to fight each other again. There's no signed contract. There's not even a handshake deal. You know, it's not like you guys met and shook on it or anything like that. The rumor is that they talked about it taking place in, I guess, Abu Dhabi or something like that, somewhere in there in the Middle East or something like that, because they said it was real doubtful that it takes place in the UK, I guess because they need people there, you know. I tell you what, man, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just talk, you know. What does this really have to do with anything, you know? These two guys got fights in front of them. And then once they fight, they won't be able to fight till next year. When next year? Who knows? Where? Who knows? I mean, makes zero sense, B. Zero.
Yes, it just makes no sense. It's like you said. It's just like, because why talk about a fight that's like, for instance, by talking about the fight now, is it going to add to the promotion? By talking about it when the fight's actually signed and they actually do like a 5 to 6 month promotion. So by talking about it now, how much extra attention, like how much extra revenue are you going to generate by talking about it over a year and a half before it could actually happen?
Right. So
like, what is the benefit of doing this right now?
Nothing.
It's trying to get attention.
That's all it is, because there's nothing
like Mayweather
on the table.
Just like Floyd Mayweather periodically.
Or Conor McGregor announcing his retirement right in the middle of the UFC card.
Yeah,
you know?
Floyd Mayweather periodically coming out and saying he's going to do this and that. And then,
right.
You know, it's just trying to grab a headline. That's all this is.
Yeah.
That's all boxing's become now, is grabbing headlines.
That's it. So Tyson Fury took to social media and thanked a fellow by the name of Dan Kinahan. He was praised on social media as the guy who got it done, who got this, whatever it is, done, this agreement or whatever. There's been a lot of backlash about Kinahan being tied to organized crime. There's no evidence of a criminal record for him. He's the founder. I didn't know this. He was the founder of MTK Global, this guy Dan Kinahan.
Yeah, I'm starting to like read up on this now, but before I just didn't really have much interest in it, but I guess
no.
The story is really – Jason's been really hammering me with this, because anything top rank, he's gonna
sure.
jump on that.
You know,
he's been hammering me with this. Oh, why don't you talk about this one? I really wasn't interested in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but check this out.
Go ahead.
Kinahan escaped unhurt in 2016 when rival gang members dressed as police opened fire during a boxing weigh-in at Dublin's Regency Hotel. He jumped out of a window to escape.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a criminal record. That's what they said. He said he doesn't have the credit that anybody knows about. He doesn't have a criminal record. But, Beeb, I'm going to ask you, how many times have anybody tried to gun you down? Has anybody ever put a hit on you?
Never.
Nobody's ever tried to put a hit on me. I'm just saying, if somebody's putting a hit on you, yeah, you know, and that indicates a mistaken identity. They know who you were. So if somebody's trying to put a hit on you, my man, yeah, you got something up, man. Something's not right there, right? Is this a shocker, though? I mean, let's be honest. Is this a little shocker? Or, you know, organized crime, everything, that's all, this is all kind of like a history of boxing, no?
Well, I was about to say, am I supposed to be in shock because we've discovered there's an unsavory character in the sport of boxing? I mean, boxing's
unsavory, terrible.
Like, boxing's
Don King,
people
anyone?
Like this, you know? Bob Arum literally bribed the president of the IBF to get his fighters ranked. It, you know, it's just... Shane Mosley was implicated in the Balco scandal. You know, news like, wow, you know? Tyson Fury's eating boar meat, supposedly, and getting popped with friggin'
right.
steroids in himself.
You remember?
All these crazy stories. I mean, this doesn't surprise me, but again, But again, there's the guy, like you said, the guy doesn't really have a record, right? He doesn't have a criminal record.
He doesn't have a criminal record, but, you know, he was the target of a hit back in 2016, so.
Oh, okay, so what is that, you know, what am I supposed to make of that, you know?
That he's a criminal. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. Jason's trying to tell me that you know this is such corruption and blah blah blah. It's like, well,
corruption
wow.
in boxing though.
Yeah.
I mean we're such a clean cut sport. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do?
All this outrage about things that happen in this sport. You know, like it's new or anything. Like, how long have people been watching this sport?
Right.
And they act so surprised when they find out stuff like this.
Right.
It's just baffling to me.
It really is. It really is.
Not that I condone it. Don't get me. I don't condone it. But like I've said before, I'm like, some of this shit I'm just numb to. I'm just oblivious to it at this point.
What are you supposed to do about it? You know what I mean? I mean,
that's the thing. Like I get these messages from that whack job all the time. What are you going to do about it? Like, listen, I'm not a role model. I'm not here to save the world. I'm just a guy that works a job like everyone else, pays taxes, pays bills, and does what he does. I'm not a friggin' activist. What do you want me to do?
And neither is Jason, by the way. He's a Twitter activist.
I mean, what impact can I have on anything? I'm a guy with an opinion, like anybody else.
I mean, listen, you don't like to have that element in the sport, but the fact is the element exists. And it's in every sport. If you think it's not in every sport, you're wrong. It is. You know? But listen, man, these are the guys that are on the straight narrow or whatever.
It is.
There's been a huge history. I mean, the history of boxing and the mob runs deep. It just does. So, I don't know. What are you going to do? To me, it's all much ado about nothing.
That's it.
Until he gets arrested or whatever, if there's a criminal charge on him, what can you say? He's doing his job. He's doing, you know, whatever. Alexander Gvozdyk announces his retirement. It was reported that Gvozdyk is hanging up his gloves, man, to go get some business opportunities. So, I think it was good. I think it was good. But, I mean, listen, if you're done, you're done. Right?
Well, here's the ironic thing about Gvozdyk. He's been on both sides of the spectrum, meaning what he did to Adonis Stevenson almost happened to him against Beterbiev. He was the guy inflicting it, and then he was the guy receiving it. So, you know, he probably said to himself, I saw what happened to Adonis Stevenson, and I was close to that, you know, in my fight with Beterbiev. I can still walk and talk. Maybe I should call this a day, because maybe one day I won't be able to walk and talk. You know, I don't want to be on life support. You know, I got a family.
Came in, won a world title. I mean, what else do you need?
Hey, listen,
I mean, you know,
he's done something that a lot of guys haven't done.
Right.
You know, and if you want to talk about a lineal champion, you can argue that he was a lineal champion at light heavyweight, because he beat the man. Adonis Stevenson was the man.
Yeah, he was.
He beat the man who beat the man who beat the man. Adonis Stevenson did. He was a champion for a long time. And Gvozdyk beat him. So he was the lineal champion at light heavyweight. But how come no one ever said that on ESPN?
Not their house fighter. Not their house fighter.
See what I'm saying? He's not, you know, he's not the money guy, right? So we don't have to call him the lineal champion. You don't need to do that, right? But if he has more of a legitimacy to being called the lineal champion than Tyson Fury does.
I agree.
My opinion, right?
Tyson Fury doesn't ever. I mean, he retired, not the lineal champion.
And this is what, you know, D-Style and I were talking about this, and he brought this to my attention, because it's something I never thought about, because I don't really give a shit about all this lineal shit. But D-Style was like, yeah, you know, if you want to talk about who's really a lineal champion that fought on ESPN, it was Gvozdyk, you know?
Yeah.
I never would have thought of it, and D-Style didn't mention it to me, you know?
So. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, he's got more of a claim to that title.
100%.
All right. We're going to talk our train wreck of the week this week. Beeb, this is a crazy one. This is real odd. So, U.S. Olympic team member, team boxer, Virginia Fuchs, 32 years old, will face no punishment for failing a doping test after the U.S. Anti-Doping Association determined the violation had been caused by two substances. All right. Okay. And you figure, so what? What's the big deal here? Right? Beeb, the two substances were purportedly transmitted by her boyfriend through sex. USADA announced its ruling Thursday, clearing the 32-year-old Fuchs, who will attempt to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics next year as a flyweight. Fuchs learned in March that she had tested positive for two banned substances during an out-of-competition test in February. While investigating the test, USADA learned Fuchs' partner had been taking products that included the two banned substances, and the levels of Fuchs' violations were consistent with recent exposure through sexual transmission. What am I reading here, Beeb? What am I reading? What is this?
Wasn't it bad enough that we had boar meat excuses, beef excuses? Now we're going to have sex excuses. Now when guys...
Tainted meat, I guess.
Guys,
I don't know.
Yeah, now when guys start, I guess she had some tainted meat as well, right?
What is that? Yeah, it was tainted meat, son.
Oh, okay. Now I'm a little slow catching up to that one. But... Wow.
Centurion Sun Red said Ron Jeremy was the boyfriend.
Oh, my God. That's insane, bro.
So you can test positive. I mean... So you didn't, you know, the good news is you didn't get gonorrhea, but the bad news is you got busted for PEDs. I mean, really? Like, what is going on, man?
Amazing. amazing. That's nuts.
Yeah, I guess.
that's off the chain right there. How do you even bring yourself to say that to somebody? So then what do they do now? How do they confirm that now? What, do they got to go test the boyfriend or whatever, like the partner?
I have no idea. How do you confirm that that
How do you
story
confirm
is,
that?
You know?
How do you confirm that story?
Yeah, my girlfriend, she was taking steroids, man. What am I going
to
do?
What are you going to do? Take them both to Quest Diagnostics to get a full panel STD test on them? What do you do?
Oh, my God.
How bananas is that?
That's the most insane story I've ever heard. We've heard them all, B. We've heard them all, right? Tainted meat, whatever. And now this. Can you imagine the excuses that'll be coming down the pike now? So if he, let me answer you the question. Like, so if he wore protection, which I don't know if he did or didn't, I don't know. I wasn't there.
Apparently, he went raw dog. Apparently, he went raw dog. If he's transmitting freaking, you know, stuff like this, I mean, he went raw dog, right? The condom would have prevented the failed PED test, I would think, right?
I would think, but I don't know.
We're going down deep into a rabbit hole right now.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, if he would have used protection, then I guess that she would have been fine. I don't know.
Got to strap up, man.
I don't know I didn't know that was, it could be transmitted like
strap
that.
Strap up.
You know?
unless they're really an item, you know, they've been dating for a while, and then, you know, they know each other very well. I mean, if this wasn't a one-night stand, you know.
What if she couldn't find the guy? It was like... Can you imagine that? Like, even with like a one-nighter, she couldn't find the guy.
How did they come to this conclusion?
That blows my mind too. Like, how did you? You think about, what was this, like a last ditch effort talking about?
What did she go home and talk to the guy one day? Like, oh shit, I failed the PED test. Oh no, honey, that's my fault.
Yeah, that's funny. I've been taking Diana Ball too, you know? That's crazy, you know? Yeah, how about that?
I've been shooting myself up, and in the process, I shot you up inadvertently.
Oh, my God. We're about 12. We're like 12, you know?
I've been taking the juice, and I gave you some of my juice, and now you have what I have.
You've been taking the juice too, by proxy.
I've been taking the juice too, but my juice.
Oh my goodness, man. That had to be the craziest story I heard in a long time.
That's nuts.
Crazy, B. What's going on with this world? That might be the train wreck of the year. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, when we do our year-end awards.
Right.
I mean, she got some rewards, but we're going to do our year-end awards. This has got to be train wreck of the year.
Got to be. We got to get her on the show. Let's see if we can get her on the show.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this just knocked Adrian Broner.
She sounds like a party.
Up.
I don't know about you, but she sounds like a party.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Adrian Broner, he ain't going to be the train wreck of the year anymore.
How about this girl unseats him? How about that?
Just unseats him, yeah. Usually him and Chavez Jr., but now this girl just took it right from both of them.
She said she wasn't immediately available for comment. You think?
That's crazy. That is nuts.
How great is that? Imagine this girl's parents coming out. You know, I know she's 32, but I mean, still, like, you know, her parents reading this in the paper, you know what I mean? We're having way too much fun with this one, man. Crazy. All right, guys. Well, listen, man, that's all the news we got for this week. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. On Twitter, I'm at ringside73, and we will see you next week.
Gotta be honest.
Hold on.
That took the fucking wind right out of my sails. I want